Take your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 tonight. Blessing to sing about Jesus, isn't it? Amen. And sang a lot of salvation songs this morning and tonight. And I can't, was thinking about the special my wife sang this morning. I've never lost the wonder of it all. Hope we haven't lost the wonder of salvation. The wonder that Jesus saved us from our sin. And sometimes the world we live in and the life that we live, we can lose that wonder. I pray that we don't lose it tonight. If you have lost it, get it back. Amen. The wonder that Jesus loves us and saved us. And this morning, learned in Sunday school, Jesus prays for us, makes intercession for us. That's what intercession means. Jesus prays for you every single day. Praise God. I know I need it. We all need it. And Jesus prays for every believer. That just kind of boggles the mind. You know how many believers there are all over the world, and Jesus prays for them every single day, just as the high priest was to place incense upon the altar at morning and evening, and that incense represents the prayers of Christ. So an amazing thought there, and we see that in Hebrews. And I just encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 4 and just to see the ministry that Christ has to each and every believer. And that should humble us. And also that gives us hope and strength. And that should bring some peace into your life, into your heart. And that's what we're talking about. Abundant peace tonight. And tonight a question that you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but in your heart, you know the answer to this. Do you have peace tonight? Well, to understand whether you have it or not, we must understand what it is that we're looking for. Some people have different definitions of peace, and the world has a definition of peace. We talk about financial peace. We have peace when we have enough money. We have peace when there's something good going on or something like that. But the peace of God is entirely different, beyond all understanding of the human realm, that God wants to give to you tonight. And here's the definition of peace. It means freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions. Think of that. Freedom from agitation or disturbance of the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of, now this is important, quiet of conscience. What does that mean? Meaning conscience isn't bothering you. The Holy Spirit isn't convicting you about things. We can have peace in our life. It is the will of Christ to have peace in our lives. And He wants to give it to you tonight. Are we willing to secure it from Him? It's just like a gift, like the gift of salvation, the gift of peace. All we must do is come to Him and receive it. So let's look at how we can have peace tonight. Look at John 14. We're going to look at verse number 27. These are the words of Jesus. And we have peace in three areas of our life: peace of the soul, peace of mind, and peace of the heart. And we're going to look at that tonight. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God tonight. John 14 and verse number 27 tonight. And God's Word says, and these are the words of Jesus, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we seek for peace. Perhaps some in here have thy peace. Perhaps others have come tonight seeking it. And Lord, we can receive it. Thy Son, Jesus Christ, wishes to give it to us. He has secured peace through His shed blood on the cross. Secured peace with you. And Lord, I pray that we would seek it tonight as Christians. Lord, I pray tonight also, if any under the sound of my voice, they are not at peace with you. They have not accepted the ransom of Jesus' blood upon their sin. I pray that they would tonight, so that they might have peace in their soul. I pray tonight that you would bless and direct. And Lord, give us hope. Give us that peace. Show us, Lord, how we can attain it and receive it from you. You want to give it to us, Lord, as a free gift. I pray tonight that we would receive it and take the steps necessary to receive it. I pray that you would give me the right words to say tonight. Help me to rightly divide your word. These are not my words, but yours. This is not my hope, but your hope, dear Lord. I pray that you would give me the words to say tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Abundant peace is the title of the message tonight. God doesn't just want to give you a little bit of peace. Jesus wants to give you abundant peace. Peace in the midst of life's trials and struggles. We can have peace in our heart. And the three areas we're going to look at tonight, I already mentioned, peace of the soul, peace of the mind, and peace of the heart. We're going to look at those three areas tonight if you're taking notes. First, we're going to look at the peace of the soul. There's only one way to have peace in your soul. That is the source of all the peace that we have in our life. If we are not at peace with God in our soul, if we're not saved, we're not going to have any peace anywhere in any part of our life. We're going to be at the whim and will of our mind and our heart. We're going to be agitated over many things. We're going to worry. We're going to be fretful. We're going to have ulcers, all kinds of things. We are not going to have the peace that God can give. If we do not have peace in our soul, then we will not have peace in any area of our life. And only Jesus Christ can bring peace to the soul through salvation. Amen. That's the only way we can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I'm not going to spend real long on this. I preached on it this morning. But it bears being repeated again that the only way we can have peace. And you know what? The world spends its time trying to manufacture its own peace. And we just saw that Jesus wants to give us peace. And he said specifically, not as the world giveth. It's not what the world gives, because the world can give you temporary peace, right? Many people put their peace and trust in money. And money is not something that you need to put your faith and trust in. You know why? Because it's here one day, gone the same day. It's many times, right? People back in the 30s found that out. They put their faith in the stock market, lost everything, had to go to soup kitchen, couldn't even get a job. I mean, they had their faith and trust in money, and they lost it all. Here one day, gone the next. And you know what? People today put so much trust in the stock market. I don't think you need to put, if you know anything about computers and about electronics, I don't think you want to put your faith and trust in a bunch of silicon chips. You know, lightning bursts, you know, something happens, we have a solar flare, there it goes. It's gone. The whole financial market, half the world is wiped out. I said, can that really happen? Oh, yeah. That can really happen. You know what? Maybe some of these other countries who are poor, who still take note, they still write things down on paper. Maybe they have something over us, maybe. Because, you know, if something happens like that, all the information, I mean, literally, if something like that happened, people's lives are all on the tablet, on the phone, on the computer. It's all, it's gone. It didn't even exist. Right? You know, there's something said for paper. Amen. You know, you can't. Yeah. I'll lose that in electronics somewhere. Anyway, rabbit trail coming back. All right, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace with God. Because of our sin, we are alienated from God. Ephesians 2 verse 12 tells us that. We are alienated from God because of our sin. We cannot be with God, for God is holy. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. See, before we were saved, we had no hope. We had no peace. And you know what? Hopelessness is very powerful. Hopelessness, that is a lack of peace right there. That is going to cause you to have some anxiety. That's going to cause you to have some problems. That's going to cause major agitation in your life. Hopelessness is powerful. There are so many people, I mentioned this morning, that they commit suicide every single year because they have no hope. And I was at the ministry team meeting for the Garrison Chaplaincy and for the Community Connection that we're going to be in September. And one of the gentlemen there, that he works out of the Methodist Church with different things over here, but he runs a PTSD ministry. And he goes, you would be shocked at how many soldiers commit suicide at Fort Hood. So you'd be shocked because they have no hope. And as I go around, he goes to every single unit on post on a rotation of 3 months. And he gives them the pamphlet and said, there is hope. And it is a ministry. Now we don't agree with their different doctrines and things like that. But you know what? He's trying. He's trying to bring hope to these guys. You know what? I don't see any independent Baptists going out there doing that. You know what? We need to do better about some of these things and to show them the hope of the gospel. Goes to every single unit, walks in there and hands out his pamphlets and said, there's hope. Call somebody. Talk to us. There's hope in Christ. And there is. We're hopeless without him. And that's the only way to have true peace in the soul. You know, some people take anti-anxiety medications and all of these things so that they might have some peace. That's temporary. That's what the world can give. But only Jesus can give us permanent peace. Peace of the soul. And that's exactly what Christ wants to give to us. Because of our sin, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were on the opposing side of the war with God. I hope you know there's a war going on. There's a war going on between God and the devil. People call it good and evil. That's between God and the devil. There is a war going on. It is spiritual warfare. And before we were saved, we were on the wrong side. We were not on God's side, no matter how much we wanted to be. Without Christ, we were not on God's side. We were the enemies of God. We were on the world's side. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. And we see at the Corinthian church, there were those that had been in all kinds of sin, but Christ saved them and gave them peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Wow. They were all of these things. Some of them were all of these things. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God. Amen. And that's amen territory right there. Amen. We can't say amen to that. There's something wrong. Amen. We were sinners. We were the enemies of God. But when we accept Christ, we are saved from our sin. But do you have peace in your soul that your sins are blotted out, as in Isaiah 44, verse 22? Having our sins blotted out, forgiven forever. Isaiah 44, verse number 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Blotted out our sin. That's what Jesus did when we received him. He took his blood and he blotted out our sin. Our sin debt, it was canceled. Amen? And we shouldn't ever lose the wonder of that. That our sin, we are washed in the blood of Jesus. And that's the only way we can have peace in our soul. Some people try to get peace in their soul by reciting the rosary. 3 times, 4 times, 15 times a day. They go to communion, they go to Mass, they're trying to get peace in their soul. Maybe it gives them a little bit of peace for a little bit, but they struggle with having that peace in their soul because that's not what it gives. That's a work. Only Jesus Christ can give that peace. Many of you say, well, I try and pray and I try and work my way. There's no way that we can manufacture our own peace. It's temporary, but only Jesus can give everlasting and eternal peace in our soul. Isn't a blessing that peace of the soul? And if you don't have peace of the soul, you're never going to have peace of mind or peace in your heart. Never, ever. Maybe for short periods of time. Maybe when you manufacture, you conjured up. But you'll never have lasting peace without Jesus Christ. So do you have him this morning? Or this evening, I should say. Do you have Jesus Christ? Do you have peace in your soul? I pray that you do. Then let's move on to peace of mind. Jesus wants to give you peace in your soul. As we just saw in John chapter 14. But also, remember, peace of mind grows out of peace of the soul. Now, when we know that our sins are blotted out, we know that our sins are forgiven, this brings also peace of mind to our life. Remember, can't have peace of mind without first having peace in your soul. The devil wants to make you anxious and fretful. Did you know that? He wants you to worry. He wants you to worry. Did Jesus really forgive your sin? Did Jesus really blot it out? Did you say the right words? And no, Jesus would never be able to blot out that sin. That's what the devil tries to get you to think about, tries to get you to be doubtful about. But that's when you need to turn to the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. You need to trust in that. But also, he gets us to worry about other things. The only way that we can have true peace is to guide our mind with the power of God. Did you know that you can control your mind? Did you know that? The world today doesn't know that. This generation of young people definitely doesn't know that. Is that they can control their mind, and with the power of Christ and the Lord and the Bible, they can control their mind, and when the devil tries to invade, guess what? They can keep him out. Amen? We don't have to be all run, our minds run wild. And you know, we see that in kids all the time. You know, I've been doing vacation Bible school. You know, you see the kids of today. Every year I see it. And it just blows my mind. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. Is that some of these kids, they come in, and these kids literally cannot control what they're thinking about. They're constantly going everywhere with their mind, going everywhere, going, they can't focus on anything. They're just going everywhere, like, oh, they focus on this and this, and, you know, well, they have ADHD. No one ever taught them that they could control their mind, is what happened. No one ever taught them that they could control and direct it and focus it. And you know, the devil loves to play with that. You know why? Because he can get you to think about all kinds of things. Whatever, just bring it in and you think about it. You're easy prey. You're never going to go anywhere for the Lord if that's happening. But you can have a control of your mind, and God can give that to you. That the power of Christ, you can control your mind. It doesn't have to be running every which way. It is called self-discipline. And he can give you the power to control the thoughts of your mind. The devil wants you to create unrest in your mind. You know that? He wants to create unrest. He wants to create worry. He wants to create all these things. But the Lord, according to Isaiah 26:3, wants to bring rest and peace to your mind. Isaiah 26:3, a verse we know very well. And you know, and yes, Pastor, I know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Yes, I know. Let's not discount this verse. Sometimes we can have the dust of familiarity on it. We know it so well, we hear it all the time, that we brush it aside. One thing with the Bible, the more you hear it, the more you should believe it. Amen? Not just brush it aside. Well, yeah, that just doesn't work for me. Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Isn't that interesting? Not just peace, but perfect peace. Perfect means complete. Means not as the world giveth, as he just said in John 14. Perfect peace. The world can't give you perfect peace. Only God can. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. Let's pause for a moment on that word, stayed. What does that word stayed mean? You know what? When you train a dog and you tell them to stay, what are they supposed to do when you walk away? They're supposed to stay. This is a real complicated word. That means fixed. To stay put. That no matter what's going on, you'll keep your mind stayed on thee. Who's thee? God. That you're going to keep your heart and mind, it's going to stay there. And the devil's going to say, hey, look over here. Nope. I'm going to look right there at Jesus. I'm going to look right there at my Lord. And that you'll have peace no matter what's going on. You know, people aren't going to be able to understand it. I said, why do you have peace? Why aren't you falling apart? Because my mind is stayed on thee. And you know what? The devil loves to bring worry and fretfulness into our minds. This is the promise of God, to have peace on him. Peace that he has saved you from your sin, that peace in your soul. This is the key to know the assurance of salvation. If you know that you call upon the Lord and you know that he saved you, and you have the witness of the Spirit in your heart, you know what you do? You keep your mind on Christ. It's in Christ that he saved me. He did. The key to having peace of mind is faith in God's promises. It doesn't matter how many promises you memorize or know. If you don't believe them, it won't matter. If you know them, you know, we know so many promises. We memorize verses and we know promises. But if you don't believe them and trust in them and keep your stay your mind that you can trust and depend upon them, it won't do you any good. You don't have faith. That's why without faith it's impossible to please him. I'm talking about God. You'll never be able to have peace of mind or peace of heart if you don't trust the promise of God. And we've talked to people, and people have an agitation and anxiety in their life. Is it trust the promise of God? I can't. No, you won't. God is dependable. God will never fail. God will never leave you or forsake you. Won't you trust him? If you do, you'll have peace in your heart. Stayed, the dictionary definition means fixed and settled. Just like David said in Psalm 57:7, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Fix his heart. We can also fix our mind and stay it and keep it anchored down in God. When we decide to have faith and stick to the promises of God, that's when we stay our mind on Christ. The result will be peace of mind. But what do we do about worrying? You know that we worry about all kinds of things. We worry about our children. Now, there is a difference between concern and worry. Amen? There are things that we need to be concerned about. But what I'm talking about worry is that something that just eats you up on the inside, just gnaws at you, takes away your sleep, takes away your appetite, just gnaws on you, and it is a burden to you, and you just worry. And, you know, many times, what do we worry about? Things we can't control, right? Situations we can't change, things that we can't do anything about. You know what? We sit and we worry about whether it's going to rain tomorrow. Guess what? Can you do anything about whether it rains tomorrow? No. I'm worried it's going to be too hot. I mean, I'm so upset. It's going to be so hot and I can't do this. I'm worried about it. There's nothing you can do about the temperature. Bring an umbrella. Right? There's nothing that we can do about it. People sometimes worry about silly things. And the devil loves that. The devil loves it that we worry. The devil loves it that we're agitated. You know why? That worry shows a lack of faith in God. That worry means that you are wanting to control the situation. You can't. You know, there's situations that we're found in our life, whether it be our job, our family, or relationships, that we can do nothing to control the situation. And we sit and we worry about it. And we're agitated about it. And there's nothing that we can do. And God does not want us to worry. And we become fearful. Who's given us the spirit of fear? The devil. God didn't give that to us. Jesus wants to give us peace. Peace, not as the world giveth, which is temporary. Then the situation changes and everything falls apart. You know what? We see that sometimes in Christians' lives. As though I have peace and then the situation changes and they fall apart. Well, they didn't have God's peace. They had their own. They had the world's peace. They didn't have their own peace. We need to have the peace of God. Now look at Psalm 37. And here are some commands of Scripture. And you know what? One of the things that was repeated often in the Psalms and in Proverbs several times, we're going to look at that, is we worry about the evil world around us. We worry about those that do the wrong thing. And you know what the devil loves to attack us with? Is that people that do wrong and they appear to get away with it. That's what we worry about. And we say, that's not fair. Just remember, they're not getting away with anything. They're going to reckon with God one day. Remember that. And it seems the evil is winning at times. And a mighty fortress is our God. I think it is Martin Luther wrote that. And it says the evil oft seems strong. Right? And that's very times. You know what? It always seems that way because that's what the devil wants you to think. That his evil and his power is too strong and too mighty, and that God is puny, and that God can't help you, and that he's going to run everything eventually. Isn't that the lie that he perpetrated, that I will be like the Most High? And that's what he wants you to believe. But what do we have here? God says, well, that's not so. Yes, he's the Lord of this world. Yes, he's the prince of the power of the air, but only because God wills it, not because he has some special power over it. God lets him have that. And remember where he's going to be, Revelation 21. Guess where he's going? To the lake of fire for all of eternity. So don't worry about those that do evil. You need to pray for those that they be saved, because Jesus does not want them to go to that place. Just as much as he didn't want you to go to that place. But you have to be very careful of vindictive attitudes toward people. Very careful about that. What does Jesus tell us to do? To pray for our enemies. Do good to those that hurt you, despitefully use you. Do right. And let God take care of the rest. Psalm 37. And you know what? You know who worried about evildoers and those that did evil? David did. David saw that because he was a man after God's own heart. He saw all these people doing these wrong things, and it made him fretful that they would get away with these things. It wasn't right. It wasn't just. Don't worry. Who's in charge of the scales of all mankind? Not us. God is. And we know God is just and God is holy. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Envious meaning, well, how do they get away with it and I can't? They're getting away with this stuff. You know what? And we're tempted to think that way. We know people that are Christians, but they're not living right, and they're living it up. Seems like they're having a great time, right? And they're getting away with that. Well, they don't dress right. They don't do right. They don't talk right. They go to the movies and all these other things. And so, but what's wrong with them? They're in their church and they're having a good time. They're rocking out every Sunday. They're having a great time. No, they're not. The devil wants you to think they are. But they don't have the peace of Jesus Christ. They don't have the peace of Jesus. They have a manufactured peace that comes and goes in waves. They have to go every week to get their fix on it. And have to listen to their music to get their fix on it. That's not the peace of God. The peace of God is eternal. And doesn't matter the situation going on in your life, the peace of God passes all understanding. It's not human or natural at all. Now look at verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's hard for us to do. Wait patiently for Him. You know what? And what we have to wait for is we have to wait for God to move. And you know what? Sometimes we think God doesn't move quite fast enough. And we're all worried, right? Wait patiently for Him. Let's continue on. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know what? Sometimes we get upset and we see someone does something and they appear to get away with it. We get angry, don't we? We get upset. Oh, that's not fair. How could God let them do that? And you know what? The devil just wants you to think that to lose your faith in God. Lose your faith that God is doing right and that God is going to take care of it. And we begin to fret. Well, then we think we need to do something about it. God takes care of it. Don't fret yourself. Trust that God is always going to do what is right. Amen? He's always going to do what's right. He's always going to. Those people aren't getting away with anything. And what does the Bible teach? They bring upon themselves swift destruction. Remember the man that built his house upon the sand. And that's what people with evil devices do. And when the storms came, that house fell. And what was the description? Great was the fall of it. It wasn't just a partial collapse. It was utter and total devastation, gone. And that's what we see people's lives that happen, is they seem to be getting away with it, but then all of a sudden it all comes apart. Utter and total devastation in their life. Don't worry. Don't fret for them. You need to pray for them. And you know what? By the way, when that happens, we shouldn't be standing there and say, ha, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, we shouldn't stand there and do that. We should weep for them that their life was destroyed. And it wasn't needful. They could have come to Christ. That's why we need to go out on Tuesday night. And we're going to be going out this Tuesday night, by the way. We're going to announce that. We're going to be out Tuesday night going out soul winning so that people's lives won't be destroyed. That's why we go out, to share the gospel, so that they can have this peace too. But if you don't have it, you're not going to tell someone else about it. If it's not real to you, you're not going to tell someone else about it because you haven't experienced it. If you don't have peace in your soul, you're definitely not going to tell someone else about it. You know what? If some people say, what is this peace? People are talking about, I don't have any peace. I think you need to get saved. You don't have any peace. You better get rid of your sin. And that brings us to the next part. Now look at Proverbs 24, verse 19. Like, Pastor, you still have a point to go. I know. Proverbs 24, verse 19. Proverbs 24, verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Well, you know, sometimes, you know what? I'll have to admit something. That you go around to these different false prophets and false churches, and guess what? They seem to have all the money, don't they? You know, they have all this stuff, you know what? And we're just thankful that we're able to get enough together to pay our mortgage off and fix our parking lot. You know what? You know, we're just thankful that we're enough to keep the building going. You know, we're thankful we have enough to pay the electric bill at the end of the month. And they have millions of dollars, and they have these big and beautiful buildings and all of this stuff. And you know what? It can creep into a pastor's heart. You get a little envious. I think, you know what, why don't some of those people get saved and come over here? Right? But you know what? The devil's got plenty of money. And that's what people look for, isn't it? That's why people flock. Well, they've got money, they've got status, but they don't have the real truth. And that's the sad part. And you know what? It doesn't matter that our building's older and that we're able to take care of it. We're praising God for that. But what do we have? The most precious thing of all, the truth, right here. That's what we're thankful for. And you know what? The Lord brings that verse to my mind. You know, don't fret thyself because of evildoers. Don't be envious against them. Say, sorry, Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't be doing that. You know, but, you know, the devil wants to run through your mind. See, God's not taking care of you. I see, I take care of people over here. No, the Lord takes care of us in His way, in His time. But what does Matthew chapter 6 tell us about? Some people worry about finances and worry about this. You know, some people say, well, I don't have enough money to tithe. You know what? You can't afford not to tithe. God will take care of you. Amen? You know what? There have been times that Pastor Harvey, myself, and many other people in here, you didn't have the money to pay your bills, but you need to know you need to tithe to the Lord, and the Lord brought the money along. You know what? Not a few months ago, it was one of those type of months, and I put my tithe check in. I said, Lord, you're going to have to take care of it. Next day, a check came in the mail, totally unexpected, covered my expenses for the month. Amen. And you know what? And that was that temptation. Well, maybe I just wait. Maybe I can just wait. And maybe, you know what? The Lord understands if I just dip into that a little bit. No, He doesn't. It's His, first of all, and you give it to Him. And the Lord provides your need every single time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I'm not holding myself up as someone high and holy, but just someone who's tempted about those type of things, just like you are. But you need to do what's right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It is not the life, more than meat, and the body than raiment. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Remember, He hasn't forgotten about you. But verse 33, what are we to do? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is there enough evil things to worry about instead of worrying about what God's going to provide for you? Amen? That's the peace that we can have. We don't need to worry about what God's going to do for us because there's many other things that to be concerned about. But we don't need to worry. We can have peace. The Word of God is clear. He will take care of everything, and we don't have to worry about it. You know what? Someone described worry like this. It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Right? You can rock back and forth on that rocking chair, and no matter how much harder you do it, maybe you'll move an inch or two, but you're not going anywhere fast. That's what worry does. And we just sit there and we get agitated. We can't sleep. And we just worry. And guess what? It did absolutely nothing for it. It gave you an upset stomach. You need an antacid. Right? And all it did is just totally ruined your night or ruined your day. It totally make you grouchy and upset. And you know what? Instead of living for Christ and saying, Lord, I give this to you. I'm not going to worry. Lord, will you give me that peace? And guess what? He'll give it to you. You know what? Sometimes when we ask God for things, we're shocked He gave it to us. Whoa, actually, I can have that peace, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now that brings us to peace of the heart. Peace of the heart. Oh, our heart is a fickle organ indeed. It can go from peaceful to a raging storm in a matter of seconds. That's how desperately wicked our heart is. I mean, we can be peaceful and fine with our own manufactured peace, and then something happens that makes us mad, or makes us proud, or makes us upset. We go to a raging storm. You know what happens? Our mouth follows usually. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34. He said, oh, generation of vipers! Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our hearts can be peaceful, placid, but then also it can be stirred up. Yes, there is a way to have peace in your heart. First, you must have peace in your soul. Once again, if you don't have peace in your soul, no matter how much time you try, you have peace in your heart and mind, you won't get it. Not God's, anyway. You'll never have peace in your heart until you have peace in your soul. The mind and the heart work together. They can either work together or they can work against each other in having peace. Remember, the mind is logical, the heart is emotional. We're not to live by our logic and what we understand. We're to live by faith, but also we're not to live by our emotions either. not to live, be controlled by our emotions. They both have a part in us, but neither is to control us. We're to walk in the what? Spirit of God. The way unrest can enter into the heart and mind is both is through sin. Guilt and shame hang around our neck like a millstone. When we have sinned against God and have not confessed it, the conviction of the Holy Spirit brings guilt and shame and conviction that we need to get rid of, that we can come to Christ and be cleansed from the guilt and shame of our sin. Look at Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 6. Now in Ezra, the children of Israel had done wrong in the sight of God, and because the priests had intermarried with the strangers of the land, and Ezra was that astonished, and now this is the prayer of Ezra praying to the Lord. Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 6. And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up onto the heavens. Now, is Ezra in a state of peace right now? No, he's not. He is ashamed. It wasn't even his sin. It was the sin of the priest. But he felt responsible. He was ashamed of the nation, ashamed of the sin, and he felt guilty because of sin. Sin brings shame. And this is why most Christians don't have peace in their life. It's because of sin that they're unwilling to confess and unwilling to part with. This can be corrected simply by confessing your sin to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, the problem is the confessing part. Admitting our sin. You know what? As a lost person, it's hard to get people to admit their sin. But when they realize they're a sinner, if they admit their sin, they confess it before God and trust in Christ, He will save them. And give them peace in their soul. But you know what? Many times the devil gets into our heart in pride. And as Christians, we have trouble, what? Confessing our sin? I haven't really sinned, have I? I have had a mishap or made a mistake. Guess what? That's sin. And that will bring shame and that will bring guilt. Why? Because you're a child of God and it will bring a lack of peace. And how you can have peace is simply by confessing your sin. Amen. And we can be cleansed from it and we can go on. But no, we can't do that because I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you did. Admit it. Confess it, move on, and you'll have the peace of God and be set free from your sin. Amen. But how sober we can be. If we have confessed our sin, and the Lord promises to forgive, of course, unto salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but also unto restoration, 1 John 1:9. But, you know, the devil likes to bring up past sin, love to bring your past sin back into your mind, into your heart. Maybe the old life of sin that you partook of before you were saved, and likes to bring those things up. But I want you to turn to a verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. And when the devil comes around, by the way, you need to use the Bible when the devil comes around. Amen? Don't use your own. He can outthink you every single time. He can outwit you every single time. Come to the Bible. That's what Jesus did. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Amen? 1 John 1, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what's this last part is important. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what sin? All sin. So when the devil tries to bring lack of peace in your life, well, you know what you used to do and all of these things and all of that. You know what you do? You march from right to here and said, my sin is under the blood of Jesus. It's gone. It's cleansed. And you know, that's keeping your mind stayed on the Lord, by the way. That would keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. And nothing will make the devil flee like talking about the blood of Jesus. He's gone. It's cleansed. You're free. Amen. And you can go forward. And the devil will flee. If the devil knows that you're using God's word and trusting in Jesus and walking in the Spirit, he's going to stay away from you. He's going to try and creep in there. But if you're faithful in it, the devil will run every time. Then he's going to try and destroy you because you're a threat to him then. When we're a successful Christian, and we're walking in the Spirit, don't get arrogant, don't get cocky, because the devil's right there waiting for you to do it. He's waiting for you so he can get you. When we submit our hearts to walking in the Holy Spirit, it will bring peace. Now, Galatians chapter 5, we submit our hearts, and then also we claim the promises of God, because many times people say this, the longest distance in the world is between the head and the heart. The head knows what the Bible says. This is where we store information. This is where we memorize verses. But what did David say? My word have I hid in mine head. No, he said where? Heart. This is where we process it. But we got to get it from here down to here. Because you can know it in your head but not believe it. You know, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus up here, but they don't believe him. They don't trust him for salvation. Knowing about Jesus and maybe knowing it's true isn't the same as salvation. Hope you understand that. You can understand it up here, have a head knowledge, but you don't trust him in your heart. Trust it comes from the heart. Belief comes from the heart, not from the mind. Because mind is logical. Faith comes from our heart. And so that tonight, when we submit, we know what God wants us to do in our mind. But when we submit our heart to him and put it under the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, there are going to be some results in our life. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. Imagine that. It's a fruit of the Spirit that will have peace. Peace of sins forgiven, not lack of worry, peace of soul, mind, and heart. And that's, now, did we get it ourselves? No, God gave it to us. Jesus gave it to us. Gave us a comforter to give us peace, the Holy Spirit, the peace that is not like the world giveth, but the peace of God through Jesus Christ in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace. What is the rest? Let's look here at the rest. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know what? You can't crucify the affections and lusts unless you've sought forgiveness for your sin. If you're a Christian, you've sinned. You can't crucify the affections and lusts if you're unwilling to confess it and forsake it. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. As we continue to grow and walk, we'll have a peace even in the most likely situations. You know what? The world watches us. And there are times as Christians that we're going through the most terrible situations of our life. Maybe it's the loved ones in the hospital on the verge of death or whatever it may be. We're in the worst situations of life and we're calm. We're not falling to pieces. You know what I've seen, and I repeat this over and over again, I'll never forget this, is that it was middle of the night, I think it was almost 6 years ago, 5 years ago. We were living here in the church, and it was middle of the night with my mother. Answered the phone, and I could tell she was upset, and she said, "Your father's had a stroke, and he's on the way to the hospital right now, and really pray. It doesn't look good." I mean, you know what? Those are one of the calls you don't want to get. I mean, your stomach drops out of you, you know, and it's just, I mean, you didn't expect that to happen. And then about 20 minutes later, my sister calls me and she's sobbing. And she said, "Dad's dying. He's not going to make it." And I pray, and we were in the car already, heading to the airport. I bought a ticket. And it was actually about an hour later. But they're giving him medicine, but it's not working. He's not going to make it. He's in a coma now. They're doing surgery on him. But I don't know if he's going to make it. They say that doesn't look good at all. So I fly up there, and about 5 hours later, I'm up there, or less than that. And I come into the hospital, and my dad's in a coma, and he's on ventilator, hooked up to all the machines, and you know, my brother and my sister talking to me, he said, "This doesn't look good. You know, this might be it." And you know what? I said, "Mom's upset." I think you would be too, a little bit. But the way they portrayed it was, you know, mom's falling apart and everything. And after she found out, they're the ones falling apart. But I came in, you know, I was falling apart. We're all falling apart. And when I come in, my mom's sitting down. And she has her Gideon New Testament open, reading the Psalms. And I said, Mom, I'm here. She said, hi, Robert, come here. Let me give you a hug. She gave me a hug. I'm like, what's wrong with her? And she sat down. I mean, she cried a little bit. And I said, are you okay? She goes, yes. I have the Lord. I have the Lord. Your dad's going to be okay. I'm like, well, Mom, we don't know, you know, and everything. She goes, no, the Lord told me he'll be okay. And guess what? He was. Amen. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, Mom, you know, just, oh, it's just wishful thinking. I know, but we got to accept the reality of things, you know, and that's what the doctors are saying, you know. We understand, you know, she's just in denial. Well, doctor, she's just in denial. I said, no, she has faith. And, you know, the doctor telling her, there's no hope, you know, just take him off, let him die. He's lived a long life. You know, they're saying all these things. And you know what? I was trying to get mad. Oh, you know, it's all over. You know, just let him die and everything. I said, what, do you need a hospital bed for something? And they were just all in there, and we were there, and my mom asked what different ones thought, and I got up. I said, Mom, I said, we can't quit on the Lord. If he wants him to live, he'll let him live. If he wants him to die, he'll die. We shouldn't help the process along. And guess what? The doctor said, well, he'll be dead in a couple of hours. He lived. And then after that, well, he'll just be a vegetable. He'll never be able to do anything. He'll never be able to eat on his own again. He'll never be able to breathe on his own again. He'll never be able to do all of these things. And my dad is severely disabled, but guess what? He breathes on his own. He eats on his own. Amen? Now, he requires full-time care, but he's still here. And he's just as sharp as he ever was. He said, oh, he would be a vegetable. He wouldn't be able to respond or anything. And you know what? We serve a mighty God, but I'll never forget that. That'll stay with me for life. Seeing my mother turning to God's Word and keeping her mind stayed on the Lord. And that gave her peace that only God can give. And you know what? I said, Mom, I wish I had peace like you. You know, my brother and my sister, you know, we're just like, you know, well, Mom's in denial and everything like that. And they're trying to keep together and I'm trying to keep together. And I'll never forget, I have the Lord and His Word. I said, that's right, Mom. That's right. I was like, I'm proud of you, Mom. You know what? And she told, and she's taught me much over the years in that. And I will never forget that. That's a lesson I'll never forget. But I ask you, do you lack peace tonight? Yes, Pastor, I lack peace. Man, why do you? Why? You don't have to. You can have the peace of God. You can have the peace of your soul. Will you come to Him and seek that forgiveness? Onto salvation, so you got peace in your soul. Well, I'm already saved, Pastor. I don't have that peace anymore. Well, do you have guilt and shame over your sin? There's an altar right here. Right here. That you can come and get peace. That you can confess your sin and walk away full of peace and free. Amen. Not just at the altar, but anytime, any place. Oh, confessing your sin makes you free. Admitting your sin makes you free. And you know what? You have peace that passeth all understanding. And you know what? When you get peace, you don't want to lose it. Amen? And the devil tries to come in. Maybe you have worry and you fret and worry. And you know what? I'm just a worrier. Some people say, well, I'm just a worrier, Pastor. Well, you don't have to be. Amen? Keep your mind stayed on the Lord and you won't. But do you want peace? Yes, it's not something that we earn. It's something that Jesus wants to what? What did he say in the verse in John 14:27? He wanted to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. Just like salvation, he wants to give it to you. Will you accept it? Will you receive it? Will you begin to grow and bear fruit of peace in your spiritual walk with God? You want to have peace every day? The Lord will give it to you, but you got to go to Him in the Word and in prayer to receive it. And He'll give it to you and you'll grow. And then those situations will come. As Philippians 4:7, peace that passeth all understanding. Guess what? The world's not going to understand it. Because to them, when the bad things happen, you know what their solution is? A couple things. Either just totally go to pieces. Weep and wail and never. I mean, I've been to funerals where people are just weeping and wailing and hanging on the casket. I mean, you see that all over the world. Well, that's just part of their culture. No, it's because they have no hope. That's a human reaction to no hope. They're gone forever and they have no hope themselves. And that's just the outpouring of it. The other is go drink. Go drink alcohol and drown your sorrows. No, you're really drowning your lack of peace. Oh, you'll be numb for a little bit, but guess what? It'll come back. And you'll feel worse than ever. Then you're guilty and shamed because of your sin. And some people say, well, you know what? I'll just go to my doctor and I'll take a little pill. Some people might get upset at me for saying this, but I think that little pill has driven more people to suicide than anything else in this country. Because I talk to people all the time that take it and they say, I don't want to take it anymore because those are some of the deepest, darkest thoughts I've ever thought in my life is when I'm on that little pill. Well, that's just a side effect. You know what happens to most people? Because guess what? You can't take away, that's the world's peace, only Jesus can take away your worry and your lack of peace and give you victory over that. Only Jesus can do that. Taking a little pill won't do that. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Guess what? I don't. But Jesus does. Hebrews chapter 4. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities. He was like all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And He ever lives to make intercession before the Father on our behalf. He understands your hurts. He understands your sorrows. He understands your worries. He understands it all. But He wants to give you peace. Will you come to Him and accept it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for tonight. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would keep our hearts stayed on You. Keep our life stayed on You. Oh, Lord, forgive us when we fret and worry. Forgive us when we don't have peace. You can give us that peace. And, Lord, I pray for hearts tonight. Hearts that are hurting. Hearts that are eaten up with worry and fretting. Hearts that are full of sin, perhaps, I don't know, or shame, or perhaps the devil is bringing back old things that are under Thy blood. And I pray that we would plead Thy blood and plead Thy forgiveness. And Lord, use Thy word to make the devil flee from us, to keep our minds stayed on You so that we might have peace. Oh Lord, I pray that You would work in hearts tonight. Bring peace. You want us to have peace. You want us to be unified in peace. You want us to live and have that fruit of the Spirit, that peace that only You can give. Lord, forgive us where we fail You. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Lord, I pray that we be faithful to confess it before Thy throne so that we might receive cleansing and power to overcome. Bless, we pray tonight. Give us peace. I pray those who lack it tonight would seek it. Whether it be the peace of the soul, they're not saved and they know they need to be. Or maybe it's the peace of mind that they can only receive from You. The peace of the heart that only they can receive from You. Whatever the case may be. Maybe it's anxiety and worry over things they cannot control. Or maybe it's sin that is bringing shame and guilt and they need that peace. Whatever it may be, Lord, You know the need and You are able to meet every need. I pray that You would do that tonight. Bring people to Thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.